All right, here we go. This is officially season three, Alan.
Wow.
Because Intern Rose is here.
Intern, is that what sets the seasons? Because it certainly isn't a lunar calendar or a...
No, it's okay. Just how many interns we have and how long we keep them.
Welcome to the Small Business Safari, where I help guide you to avoid those traps, pitfalls, and dangers that lurk when navigating the wild world of small business ownership. I'll share those gold nuggets of information and invite guests to help accelerate your ascent to that mountaintop of success. It's a jungle out there, and I want to help you traverse through the levels of owning your own business that can get you bogged down and distract you from hitting your own personal and professional goals. So strap in, adventure team, and let's take a ride through the safari and get you to the mountaintop.
Oh, yep. We got to rock this. It's going live right now. We're going to go ahead and say cheers, Alan. Good to see you.
Cheers, Chris. Good to be seen.
You know what's awesome is that we're breaking in our new summer intern. So Rose Mironoff is here with us. And she said, I don't want to go on. I said, well, but she says, I have a few things I want to run by Chris. I have my run by Chris list. So, Alan, you're going to have to wait. We're not going to be able to start podcasting until Rose gets to go through her list. So go ahead, Rose.
So I love the fact that Rose has been here all of what, 2 days, and she's already kind of got you trained, it looks like.
The run by Chris list. All right, Rose, hit me. Rapid fire.
Get on the mic, Rose. On the mic.
You gotta be on the mic,
Rose. On the mic. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
They're already taken care of, so we're off to a great start. Next. For the branding template, was there anything specific you had in mind, or should I just go nuts?
You go nuts. I want blue and gold branding template, HSI. I like some of those diamond shapes that we had and some of that stuff going on, but the brand template will be that.
Lots of explosions.
Yes.
Mimicking the man, the myth, the legend.
But of course. Ed.
Nope. I meant me.
Yeah.
Of course. Here we go.
Enough about me. Let's talk about me. That's Chris's line.
Oh, this one might be fun then.
All right, I'm ready.
Ed ran past me the idea that he already did a big head. So what if you submit a photo of yourself and they make a big head of you that we can use for social media? I think it would be fun.
A big head? All right, we'll find out how much it is and how we get them in. Photos. Yes. Don't you mean more pictures of me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if they have enough cardboard for that.
As long as if I can work on the nose, I just want that to come down a little bit. Can we unaccentuate my nose?
Hey, you tell
it them. Is a distinctive honker you got there.
There's a caricature with that thing.
No, it's glorious. It's like a Caesar.
It is. It was the first thing that grew on me in adolescence, by the way. Are you allowed to say that?
Not with Rose in the room.
Sorry, Rose. Boy. All right.
Well, the last thing that I had on here, other than just what time you'd want me tomorrow and Friday, would be, do you have anything that you would like done by the end of the week other than the podcast upload and the branding template?
And I want to work on the social media post for next week by the end of the week. And mm-hmm. You were going to do one Canva video and one Canva post.
Yes, I made the Canva video and I did all of the feedback things.
Canva's cool. Rose showed me a little bit.
Well, I told her, hey, have that done by Friday. So she said, I've already clipped that off the list. So what else do you want? I'm like, clearly I got to give her more to do.
It was so fun. I couldn't help it.
It's restoring my faith in humanity. The next generation's got some good ones.
Rose is good. Yeah. Yep. You know, she has some big shoes to fill with Michael, but so far she's taking those shoes. She's ripping them off and saying those shoes ain't too big.
Michael who?
Right. Michael who? Huh? What? Where is he? Loser.
He's one text away, always.
Michael, we still
We'll probably start doing some of the research on the associations and constant contact.
Oh yes,
right. We got to get on that.
List built up. For constant contact, is there something I can do at home, or would I have to wait?
Oh, see, she's already trying to work remote.
Yeah, I love that part too, and I love working at home. And as she's saying this at 5:30 at night, going, "Let's rock it." Let's work on the let's use the Google Sheets to come up with that curated list, and then we'll start uploading those to Constant Contact by the end of the week. So when you come in, today is, what's today?
Wednesday.
I thought it was Thursday.
The 11th.
What day is it?
Wednesday.
Come on, what day is it?
Wednesday.
Hump day. Oh. Hump day. Come on, Alan, say it with me. Hump day.
No.
Damn it. Thank All right. Alan wants to say it. Hump day. He wants to say it.
He said it in his head a few times.
He did. He's like, ah, it sounds too cool. I better not say that. All right, coolness.
I'll let you have all the glory.
All right. Yeah, so let's work on that list. We need to work on the podcast post schedule and the social media post schedule. Mm-hmm. One thing we got to find out from Alan is what days we can get him back in. Since we had the guy bail on us today, we want to get him back in. We also have one we're doing next Monday with Zach Levy.
Yeah.
The powerhouse. But I know Alan's got a lot of family commitments coming up these next 2 weeks.
15 people in my house.
Well, it sounds like you need to come here and drink more beer with me then, buddy.
That very well could be. But if I'm not there, they may starve because I do the cooking.
Ah, there we go. And what we have established in previous podcast episodes is that when Alan cooks, there's not veggies involved. It's all 100% M-E-A-T.
I like that.
You do need a little veggie for lubricant.
Man. Rose is too young for that one.
I don't know if that I can't was the talk- best word choice.
Yeah, it is. You got to make the meat go down somehow.
Oh, boy. A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
So you're cringing at that after all that you've said over these last 42 episodes, and you cringe at me referring to vegetables as a lubricant?
That's true.
Oh my God. I was just double standard.
I was trying to be the foil, and I can't do that. All right. What else we got for things to run by Chris?
The last thing I had was just, what time do you want me in tomorrow and Friday?
All right. I got to look at my phone.
Sounds good.
Oh, hang on. I can't because I do it Facebook Live.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Your phone is your camera.
My phone is my camera. My phone is my life. My phone is my TikTok.
No, we're not TikToking.
Darn it. All right. I'm looking. Hang on.
Don't encourage him, Rose.
I love please. TikTok. I can't help it.
You know, it is a sign of the apocalypse.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
As if we needed one Rose, more thing to be addicted to.
Rose, why don't you come in at 1 and then steal some time for me at 3. And then on Friday, I want you in here. That's the longer day.
Yeah,
because we got the videos that we can do with the Trusted Toolbox and doing the deck training class that we're doing. Mm-hmm. This is where the guys get out there and get to play around on the decks. And we like to work on decks here at the Trusted Toolbox.
I saw your video. You said you'd come over and look at mine and tell me what's wrong with it.
Yes. Mm. Well, I will. But you actually hired somebody else to build your stairs.
I asked you first.
You did ask permission. He did ask permission over forgiveness, but he also did tell me those guys can start tomorrow. And my comeback would have been, if somebody can start tomorrow, Alan, doesn't that tell you a little bit about what they're doing and how good they do it? So I will come take a look and make sure they did it right for you.
No, the reason why they could start, it was actually they can start this afternoon because they were wrapping up my neighbor's full house remodel. So all the guys were there. So we can just go ahead and knock it down today.
Whatever. You want somebody else, but yes, we'll come check. But so Friday, we'll make Friday the long day. Okay. So maybe a little less tomorrow, and then let's rock it on Friday, big. Okay.
So Friday, what time?
9.
9. Awesome. All righty.
I've got you on my schedule.
Excellent. So I will see you tomorrow at 1.
All right, Rose. Thank you so much for coming in. 2 days into it, we've got intern Rose with us from Georgia State, and she has already exceeded my expectations and has showed off what Canva can be for you.
Canva was amazing.
It is. And in her hands, it's definitely amazing. I went out there last night and tried to do just one thing, put one photo on one thing to do one Canva thing. It took me 25 minutes. I went to 3 YouTube videos and I said, screw it, and started watching basketball.
So she was explaining to me, I'm like, you know, when I used to do stuff like that for my business, I would just open up a PowerPoint and try to cut and paste. That's what I used as my canvas.
Me
and,
too.
And this thing is, and she, I mean, did you see the jungle flyover thing she did for you?
Yeah, man.
That's really cool.
That's a great teaser, by the way.
It really is.
Flyover, you got to go out there and find it. We'll stick it on YouTube, but we'll have it all over our social media here soon because I did think that rocked.
Yeah. Nice tool. Good job, Rose.
All right, Rose. Thank you.
you. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I'll see you again soon. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is officially season three, Alan.
Wow.
Because Intern Rose is here.
Intern, is that what sets the seasons? Because it certainly isn't a lunar calendar or a...
No, it's okay. Just how many interns we have and how long we keep them. So
season four could be next week.
Season four could be next week. Even though she's really excited today, it might be over by next week. I don't know. But now I'm going to have to turn this way so you and I can have more lingering talk.
They can't see you.
Hang on, Facebook fans.
How many Facebook fans do we have left after we went through your organizer?
Now that I'm back on mic, I think right now we're at 2,000, Alan. Or maybe it's just two. Hey, Rose, can you grab that door for us? Because it's going to get raunchy. All right. Okay. She's gone.
What do you think of the beer?
So I like the beer. IPA Port Song from?
From the Earth Brewing in Roswell. I believe it's a Roswell address. It's on the east side of 400. So most Roswellians don't consider Roswell. But it's, if they were going to venture out of their little bubble, that's a great place to go. The food is fantastic and they make some good beers. And you know me, I'm a bit of a snot.
You are when it comes to beer.
Yeah. They actually,
and other stuff,
you know, food, coffee, whatever. But they've got a nice variety. I mean, they've got a Belgian triple, but they're nothing goofy. You know, I don't like with the new breweries. It's like everything is sour, cucumber, pickles, peanut butter, that kind of thing. We had the art discussion last week with right. Coach.
Talk about Coach the art.
Yeah. Learn to do the core, the basics really well, and then start playing.
Yeah. I'm going to come clean. I do like the pickle beer. I've had one. I know. I'm sorry. I disappointed you. But along those lines of business, because a lot of people like to tune in and hear about our business ideas, not ideas, but all the meetings that I've taken. I met a guy who is in commercial banking who now specializes in breweries around the U.S. and helping them fund and get started with. And with all the microbreweries I've seen, and yesterday I was actually at two of them. I was one in Athens called Academia, and I was at another one called, I can't plug them, but it was down in Atlanta. But you're talking about From the Earth, and we just had one from another one in Roswell called
Variant or Gate City.
Gate City was the one I was thinking of. Yeah. So it's an amazing, he's found this niche market, and he's a really interesting dude. I think he would be great to come on the podcast to talk about how he niched into this and why finance is such a specialty thing in that brewery world, because it's pretty capital intensive, you'd think, right?
Yeah, and it brings up such a good point. And you've talked about it in the past. When you first start your business, you take all business, even if it's not really business that you should be doing or that you're any good at, just to get the revenue in the door. But the reality is if you have the capital and you have the patience to be able to really develop a reputation as a specialist in a niche, think about this guy who's a banker for breweries. I mean, he's the guy that you have to go to. And my guess is his name is bantered around 50 states now.
Yeah, he's a really cool dude. I'm going to get him on. He's here local. I happened to do a podcast with him years ago when he was, again, a banker to anybody, anywhere, anytime, not really specializing in a niche. And this niche sounds like a really interesting, and I would say not a fad. I think this is going to be something that's going to be around for quite a while. So I thought that was a pretty interesting niche to get into. We got to get him in here. His name is Jason Sleeman. I will get him in.
Yeah, the brewery thing, in my opinion, I mean, there is going to be a bit of saturation, but if you look at the West Coast, which is really, in my opinion, where this started, you know, the state of Oregon, my home state, has 560 breweries.
Do they really?
With a population of 3.5 million or something like that. So there's a way to go.
So you think it started in Oregon, microbrewery, not Sam Adams and New England, or not Yingling?
I would say, in my opinion, the momentum of craft brewing started in the Northwest.
All right. I'm already writing notes down for Jason Sleeman, who will be coming in, because I'm going to get him in here. And I know he'd love to come in here. And I know he'd love to drink a beer or two or four with us as soon as I figure something out. I don't know how to make a note while I'm talking to you. I cannot multitask. Where the hell is Rose?
You know what multitasking is? Doing a lot of things at the same time poorly.
Poorly, as Alan has said. you can coin that one. I actually was on a podcast the other day and told a guy, I'm like, I said, you know, one thing that I can tell you about culture and company is culture eats lunch with strategy. He said, I think that's like Drucker, right? I said, well, not the way I just said it, because I said it completely wrong. It's actually culture eats strategy for lunch. He goes, yeah, that's the Drucker phrase. I said, but Chris has now put a new spin on it.
That's right. They actually go out to lunch together. Some high tea.
Yeah. High tea culture gets lunch. Oh gosh, that was funny. Okay. Pause for a second.
Can you listen and do something at the same time, or that's just as bad?
All right, Ed, start. I'm back, baby. I'm back. And I am not a multitasker, but I've got that name down. We will get Jason in talking about Craft Brewery, because he found a niche, and I'm really interested to hear how he's doing with that niche. And I think it'll be a great episode for us to talk about his arc throughout banking, because the last time I met him, again, same thing. You get into banking and then you find a niche, and I want to see how he's doing with that. That'll be really cool.
Yeah. You don't hear about niche bankers very often. I mean, in real estate where I am, I mean, you really do need to specialize, and there's people that all they do is shopping centers, or all they do are convenience stores, or all they do are Class A office space in Atlanta.
Now, I can tell you about a niche banking, because at SunTrust, when I was there, we had the entertainment niche, and it was all about banking. Sports and entertainment, which is what it became, but it really started with entertainers in Tennessee, in Nashville. They were actually banking people based on their song sheets, their sheet of music. They would actually go out there, use that the collateral, and then help them get funding so they could go out there and promote their song and get it to the right artist.
So if for some reason they defaulted, then the bank would own their music?
Right.
Oh, wow.
That was the collateral. And my group was responsible for docking the collateral, and this was collateral, which is the song sheets. And I met the guy, and again, SunTrust, which is steeped in Southern tradition, bankers and, you know, buttoned up suits and only doing things the right way with very, very modest and conservative values. And I met this guy for the first time. He came walking in to SunTrust Plaza. I'm in my suit, and I'm part of a group that he's talking to about what entertainment is, and my group has to support him, and we're all sitting there with our suits on. And he walks in with jeans, cowboy boots, bolo tie, and he had a shirt on, and that was it. Didn't even have a sport coat. And you're like,
how did he even make it through the front desk?
That's what I said. How come they didn't tackle him? Throw his ass out, hippie.
Yeah.
Hippie.
I know.
Get out of here, hippie.
A protester.
And he comes in, and one of the most phenomenal guys I've listened to, just really interesting about taking banking to a different level, to a different niche market. And he found his specialty in his niche, and now it's a very popular niche that at least I'm aware of is in that sports and entertainment world, because that's a whole different body.
And it really applies to anybody who's listening to this. I mean, if you become an expert in something, then suddenly, because banking is such a commodity for the average person, it's like, where do I get the best interest rate? Or, you know, and there's not much differentiation. But if you're really good at what you do and you actually bring value to your client, then it kind of doesn't matter what the rates are.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, when I was there, they talked about share of wallet and building up that trusted advisor relationship so we can get more from you as a banker. We want to get not your checking and your savings. We want your mortgage. We want your
share of wallet. That's brutal.
Oh yeah, baby. That's what we talked about. And I brought that same concept to the trusted toolbox, not the share of wallet, the trusted advisor, because you're right. When you put trust in there and you can niche it and you can find your way to produce or produce a value play, then people will go with you and trust you more and trust you with more of your work and more of the stuff you do. And I think in our world today, the value in any business you're in has got to help you kind of overcome that commodity world.
We've done a good job, because I felt like a total adulterer when I use somebody else to build my stairs.
And I'm glad you feel like that, because I'm also now going to play towards on your guilt, because that next project is mine.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind the previous project was yours. You redid the side of my house.
Well, I didn't get all of your share of wallet. I mean, I was not your trusted advisor, trusted advisor.
Maybe you could call it hunk of corpse. I mean, share of wallet is just cold.
Well, that's what it was in banking.
Yeah.
I was, again, a lot of us are in a commodity business. If you're the only one doing the only thing in your industry with no competition, well, then good on you. But I'll bet your problem is nobody knows who you are or what you're doing. but you most likely need to be in a market, and to differentiate yourself and be unique in the marketplace is something you should always be thinking about different.
How backed up are you right now?
Right now we're backed up because it's the springtime.
And I'm not talking about your colon.
Well, because I had veggies last night. So I'm
lubricant. You have the lubricant.
So we're backed up. Springtime. Spring has sprung in Atlanta. People do look at their houses. I think one of the things that's interesting in our space is when I talk to people in Michigan, which I was just back up there, they said, it must be awesome that you get to work 12 months out of the year. And I'm like, you bet. However, we have the same cycle that you have in January and February. People aren't looking around their houses. It's kind of cool down here in Atlanta, but and it gets dark quickly. So you're not walking around, checking out your deck, looking at the rest of your house. You're not going to that back right corner of the house and running the dogs out in the backyard. And so people start doing that and start to realize, oh my gosh, there's some things that need to be worked on in my house.
Yeah. It's like when the Bradford pears finally bloom, then all of a sudden you just start thinking about outside.
Yeah. The other thing that's really cool about our cyclical market, and I think everybody should think about this in their own business, but in my cyclical market, is that spring has sprung. And our target market, our avatar, is that busy family of four. And they take spring break. They do spring break in the first week in April. Well, what's the next biggest event that is going to happen to them after April? You're about to feel it, by the way.
Graduation.
Graduation.
Yeah. Thanks for the hint.
So you have a kid graduating. Yeah. How many people are coming to your house?
I have 15 people, including our family, staying in my house.
In your house.
They're going to be sleeping on pool table and places like that.
So I said, I want your next project. I'm lying because I know tomorrow you're going to say, hey, Chris, I need a favor. The in-laws are coming in and they're going to be sitting upstairs in the bathroom that I forgot to get the toilet fixed. I need that fixed. And can you do this in the next 35 minutes? Because they're showing up now. And if I don't have a place for my in-laws to go drop a deuce, I am going to be in trouble because I'm not letting them in my master bath.
Thanks for that word picture.
Thank you. That's why I did that, because make it real. So people don't think through stuff like that. We literally just took a call today saying, I need my deck stained by the weekend. And today is hump day.
Yeah.
And 2 days away from now is Friday. And now we're talking about the weekend. And it doesn't work like that. Not if you're going to stain a deck in the South, but people are just like, oh yeah, I forgot about it.
If you want to come to my house and cut a hole in the garage and put a door in the next week, you can have that one.
I don't want that next project. Did I mention that? Because again, the time pressure. So that's what happens to us. Everybody, spring gets compressed like that because of graduations. And then when the kids get out of school, another popular thing down here in the South is called first week, where they take off and everybody goes to the beach for the first week after everybody gets out of school. If your kids are in sports, you can't do that. So you have to stick around. So your first week will be the 4th of July. And then we have the really hot months in August and July. And we'll be doing work, but people will be bouncing around doing vacation. Then they all start thinking about school again. So the worst times we have are after school goes in here in Atlanta. We start usually in August. We start a little bit earlier than other schools. Then that first cold hits, and then they realize, here comes the holidays. I need so much done in the holiday season before then. So it's all compressed. So we have spring that for us will kind of go through February, maybe end of February through June. But in the fall, it all comes right back down to October.
So what you're saying is we're lemmings. As you're going for your share of our wallet, we're just all lemmings. We all do. I can't. And it blows my mind in a city of, 6 million people?
Right.
We're all doing the same thing. We all go to freaking Destin on, Memorial weekend. And so when I had a retail store, I used to try to think on a counter. How do you want to say it? It's like, okay, not everybody celebrates Christmas. So how do I attract those people to do projects when the rest of us are singing A Little Town of Bethlehem, and not everybody has kids. Not everybody's worried about school. Not everybody goes on spring break. How do you get those people, or do they just shut down too because there's some sort of circadian rhythm? Is that the right word?
Circadian rhythm. Yeah. It is there. We are all lemmings because if you've ever gone to Destin, Florida on Atlanta spring break weekend or spring break week, you realize that you basically have to either drown somebody or kill them to have a spot where you can sit on the beach. And there's a line to get down the walkways just to get to the stupid beach there. The best place to be for spring break
is in Atlanta.
Is in Atlanta.
Yeah. And we learned that a long time ago. We love holiday weekends in Atlanta because we don't go anywhere and we have the place to ourselves.
Yep. And the worst thing about going on vacation is coming back.
Yeah.
Because everybody's coming back right with you.
Yeah. And you're in gridlock when you're just done with a vacation, you're shot and you got to go to work tomorrow. And it's just, you add 3 hours to that return. It's hell.
So everybody has that rigidity, the circadian rhythm when you are working for the man, working in corporate America. And now when you own your own business, you have that freedom where you can do some things a little bit different. Now, sometimes the kids lock you into it, but if you get yourself out of that mindset and say, you know what, maybe I just take the kids out a different week. One of my best weeks ever in Disney World was in October. Yep. When I was down there for a conference and we went in there and nobody was there. And we took the kids out of school and went down there because I was down there back in the day in the world. Weird, one of the best times I've ever had in Orlando in my life.
We did the same thing. And my kids, thankfully, all did really well in school. So I had no issue whatsoever. Because I remember, you know, my father was extremely strict, hellfire and brimstone pastor. And all he cared about was where I was going to go when I died and what my grades were. And one day, it was a particularly beautiful Friday in Oregon, which rains, you know, 300 days a year. And he said, let's go skiing. And my dad and I went skiing up on Mount Hood on a beautiful Friday, had the mountains to ourselves. I don't remember what I studied. I mean, obviously, I was in school for all those years. I learned something, but I remember that day with my dad. And right. We did the same thing with our kids. It's like, screw it. They're all doing really well. And now, you know, the school system is a little in your back pocket or in your kitchen, and you have to lie to them, you know, as to why your kids aren't going to be in school. But I'm like, screw it. We're going to Disney for a week, and we have the kind of the place to ourselves. Kids didn't. And that's what they'll remember.
They will remember that. My son's actually about to have one of those unique opportunities in college. Because you and I both remember those. And I mean, everybody thinks about the school system, and our biggest memories were probably going to be the things that were outliers, things not in the yes. classroom, the best teacher. Well, my son's about to go study abroad in college.
Where?
Something. He's going to Spain. He's going to Cadiz, Spain, nice. Or as they say in Spanish, Cadiz, Spain. And then Cadiz, Spain, España. And then he's going to go spend 3 weeks with a guy who was a exchange student when I was a junior in high school, the same age as me. So we're going to go over there for a week and help him transition up there. And I get a chance to go to Spain for a week on my son's adventure.
That when do you work?
Well, not here, not now on the podcast, as I sit here goofing around with you talking about things.
Man, it's one thing after another with you. Daytona 500, Vegas, Spain. Man, it's great to be king.
Is this where I bring up that I'm going to Cabo in June?
You may as well. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to Cabo in June. First time ever. We were supposed to go in February.
Because you really need a break.
You know, I think I've earned it. No, actually, I haven't. But that's one of the beautiful things about being an entrepreneur. I used to sit there and look at these guys. I'm like, man, they get to do all this stuff. They have all this free time. Man, it must be so great to be them. And I'm like, I promise you right now, it's not great to be me. I mean, I'm looking for staff. I'm having supply chain issues. I wake up every day slamming that damn it doll down.
Oh, this one. Show your Facebook people the damn it doll.
So,
and it does seem like there's this turn, and it's a little, oh, you need a beer. Is that what that meant?
That was code for I need another beer, Alan.
All right. Well, let's not let anybody know.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause for just a second, Ed. And here we go again. Yeah. Talking about
Where were we?
All I knew was thumb up your ass and stick it somewhere.
That's
but
right.
It was about starting a business, but having that, being that entrepreneur that everybody looks at and goes, wow, man, I wish I had that freedom. I actually talked to another entrepreneur, small business owner, who's been at it just about as long as I have. And he said, you know what? I will never, ever go back to corporate America. I don't care how bad this gets. I will never do that again. He said, there are only so many dollars in the world out there for me, but I've got to have my freedom. There is no way I can go back to that cage, back to that zoo. And I said, you know what, brother? I hear you. I know what you're saying, especially now where at 50 something years old, kind of looking at what the rest of life looks like. You're right. There's only so many dollars you can go chase and go sit in that zoo and have to go to Destin with the same time everybody else goes. And, you know, Destin is a highfalutin spot everybody needs to go to because it's really cool to go to. And when you go there, it's a status symbol. And then
is it a status symbol now?
I think it is. I mean, when you say, hey, I go to Destin. Oh, well, you know what? I go to watercolors. Well, look at you.
Topsail.
Okay, Topsail.
Destin blew my mind when I moved out here from the West. I'm like, how did I not hear about this place? It's that perfect sugar white sand, that beautiful blue water. You got the dolphins going down, and then you catch a sunrise and sunset on the same beach.
Destin's pretty cool. We did a couple things that were really cool with the kids back. We took them out of school early, and we took 1 week and we went down there. One thing that those beautiful sugary beaches of Destin don't have are what? Shells. And the kids wanted to go seashell hunting.
Oh.
So here's what we did. We went over to the Wings. You know, that's the place where you can get your airbrush shirt on.
Yeah, the crappy beach store.
Yeah. And we bought a bunch of seashells in a bag. And we threw them out there.
The little painted hermit crabs.
We threw them all over the...
Oh, did you really? For your kids to find like an Easter egg hunt.
And they went out there and they were like, oh my gosh, this is the best ever. I got seashells everywhere. I'm like, there you go. We just manufactured the beach experience for our kids without actually having to go on the Atlantic side.
Now, where your dad lives in Florida, that's a good shell area, isn't it?
It is an awesome shell area. And they actually have a whole island, Sanibel Island. It's all nothing but seashells. People love going there and picking them up. Horrible to walk on because there's too many. So you go to the sugary sands of Destin and throw that out. So that's a gold nugget for everybody. You want to create an experience for your kids? Skip those Easter eggs, man. Throw some seashells out on a beach that doesn't have any. Let them go to town.
Meanwhile, somebody else's kids are picking up the shells. Damn you. Kid, so, get away from that shell.
So I was the dad who was brushing everybody away. Like, hey, back off. Kid, keep going. Get out of here. Get out of here, you little brat. No, I didn't do that. Yeah, that was fun. You're right, Destin.
But, you know, back to the whole entrepreneur thing, because I guess that is who are... What are you looking at?
I'm just checking out things.
You were looking at yourself in the phone?
I was trying to make sure that my head wasn't too shiny.
It's pretty shiny.
It is shiny. Yeah. I'm sweating a little bit. Because I'm excited about this topic.
Where hell? I mean, the people that look, you know, you're looking at this guy and he's like, man, he's an entrepreneur. He's got it all. And he's got all this freedom and stuff. And then you start your own business and it's like, well, wait a minute. This isn't what I signed up for. I'm working 18 hours a day and I can't make payroll. And you got to go through some pain to get to where you are. And then at some point it just turns. I mean, were you aware of, because it seems to me like, I don't know, 5 years ago when you and I would go get a beer, you weren't going to Daytona in Spain.
No, I wasn't doing that. And I'm doing that now, but it doesn't mean that I'm not still going ups and downs and ups and downs. So no, it was not it wasn't like a switch got turned and next thing you know, I'm living the high life and getting to do everything I want to do. It comes with fits and starts. You know, you feel like, okay, I'm having a fit right now and, you know, I'm short people or I've got a customer experience that's not going the right way and I've got to go solve this problem again. Because I still think every day when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, today you're a problem solver. And with that mindset, you can get through the day. But if you wake up today and go, okay, today I'm going to go play golf. And those problems come flying at you. And you're like, oh my God, that's getting away in my golf game. That can really throw your golf game off because you got to be a problem solver. But then with that investment, if you will, you kept depositing in your own emotional data bank. And if you start building your team correctly and scaling correctly, that's the key thing. I didn't do it right, but I do know some things I've done well that allows me to do this podcast and allows me to go to Cabo and allows me to go to Spain this year and do some other things and deal with some personal issues that weren't as much fun and were part of life. And if it was just up to me, solo entrepreneur, I would have had to, you know, check the box and probably tell somebody I can't work with them for a while until I can get back and do this.
Well, why don't we talk to the new entrepreneurs out there and give them some, you know, wise old owl pointers on how you don't shoot yourself because you're so stressed and how do you take care of yourself? How do you manage those first few years in business where it isn't all champagne and caviar?
That's, you know, I wish I had a lot of gold nuggets because they always talk about self-care, making sure you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because it is hard to work on 2 hours of sleep and make solid business decisions and waking up every morning or waking up at 3:30, whenever that morning starts for you and trying to solve problems with lack of sleep, you start making bad decisions.
Yep. And it compounds, doesn't it?
It does. It becomes that death spiral, I think. And it's hard to pull out of unless you have somebody who's sitting there saying, one of the things I was going to say that somebody who's saying, hey, you got to pull yourself back. But one of the things I hate the most or when I would go take a 3-day vacation in the beginning and somebody said, oh, you need to go away, get away, unplug. Don't be involved at all. I'm like, oh, shut up. No, that's not happening. That's just going to stress me out even further. But if I could do it on my own time and my own terms and then find those couple hours where I could see the sea coming in and the waves come in or go up to the mountains and do that and relax a little bit, that was enough for me.
And it does sound like maybe a little bit of hokum or, you know, guru talk, but you really do need to take care of yourself first, because if you're not the best you can be, then what good are you to your business? So as you're saying, you know, if you're operating on 2 hours of sleep, you're going to be snappier to customers, to snappier to your employees. You're not going to make great decisions. And so the question is, you know, is it a time management thing, or is it you're trying to do too much on your own? Do you actually, if you have the ability to do it, do you need to hire somebody? And I think you probably, you know, even that first hire, you were probably good at doing the books. So maybe your first hire needs to be a salesperson, whereas I suck at doing the books. And so, and I am a salesperson, and I know you are too, but my first hire would be an accountant or a bookkeeper, actually. But that figuring out a way to make sure that you are not more stressed than you need to be really, to me, goes back to prioritization, time management, and making sure that when you're off, you're off. I mean, at some point you have to sleep, and I know you wake up sometimes because you're processing problems, but I don't think either of us have ever been in a job where lives are on the line.
Nope. That's the reason I got in the business I'm in, because I don't want to have everybody's.
And people are going to be pissed off, and they're going to, you know, they're going to make a mountain out of a molehill. And I'm sitting there going, you know, yeah, your cabinets are late, but you could be in Ukraine right now.
Right.
You know, and so I sort of keep that perspective. So it drives me crazy when the Karens of the world get a little too overbent on issues, but, you know, managing your schedule and not having your business manage you, I think, is a huge thing for a new entrepreneur to learn how to do.
Huge. And it's different for everybody. And it goes back to one of the key words that I just brought up with somebody else is, as a leader, self-awareness is key for you to be a good leader. But self-awareness as an entrepreneur, as a solo entrepreneur, is even more key, because you got to realize when you can and when you can't. And that's a hard thing to figure out, because in the beginning you set goals for yourself that in my case were going to be unattainable when I first started and the recession hit and said I was going to break even in 16 to 18 months. And I didn't see it for 24 to 36 months, and that blows. And you start putting that real pressure on yourself, and they say pressure comes from within. Mm-hmm. And that was a realization for me. Pressure came from within. And what you just talked about is something I actually use with my team a lot, is that sometimes a customer will call in. I just had a great one this morning. My technician, my best technician, who you know, showed up at the job early and she wasn't there. And she says, if he doesn't get off my property, I'm going to call the cops. Hmm. Oh, because he showed up to your job early. He was 30 minutes ahead of schedule, and you're going to go off and act like that and call my office and do that kind of stuff. So what do? Well, we make light of her. And go, well, that's her. Now that's just kind of that mentality. Once again, they're going to go shoot somebody instead of asking why you're there to help them. Ha, ha, ha. And we use that to kind of relieve that steam, relieve that stress. Because what I have found with my team, especially and with me, when you use that kind of levity and have some fun with it and joke a little bit and get it up, you're able to solve their problem better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just tell John to go get some materials and he'll be back when you get there. Okay. That's all. Wait, was that hard? Right. We were scheduled to be there anyway. Okay. He was running 15 minutes ahead of schedule. Okay. Wow. How about that? A contractor actually showed up early and you're mad.
Right.
Come on, lady. So you have to, well, in my case, I use humor to kind of, you know, let the steam come off so you can go back and solve those problems.
Well, and there's one thing, exercise is a really good thing, but it's what kind of exercise. So I love to play golf. It's not really exercise. But it takes a ton of time. And the thing is if you're stressed at work, it comes out in your golf game and you actually will think about business while you're playing golf. But if you're playing tennis, I don't care what's happening. I mean, you could have major issues going on, but as soon as the match starts and you're chasing the ball and that guy's trying to kick your ass and you're trying to hit the winner and all that, you can't think about it. And it's so cathartic to be able to get yourself involved in a physical activity where your brain is shut off for an hour.
All right. So along those lines, and I already played one of those two sports, but one of the things I think you all could do is listen to this podcast and go for a walk 20 minutes a day. That's all you need to do. Go for a walk, listen to this podcast.
We don't have any 20 minute podcasts.
Well, you can listen to part of it.
I think you go for a 45 minute walk or an hour and a half.
Even better. Yeah, it's even better for you. It makes you feel better. Come on, let's go. Get yourself out there. But, you know, doing the walk. So that's the big thing that you brought up is the exercise. Everybody says take care of yourself mentally and physically. It's still hard when you're running your business, man. I mean, so I'll get into the deep one for me. It was a point in time where things outwardly looked very successful for me. Things were going well. I had the team in place. Things were going the right way. And I just probably wasn't the best version of me. And I was still flying off the handle and I was still getting in people's shorts and I was still hitting the
damn it all
too much. And that was actually a gift from one of my employees, by the way. man, I ended up going to counseling. And that's a big thing. That's a big admit for a guy like me to say. Yeah. I actually went to counseling to work on anger management, to work on these fits and starts that I talk about, because I felt like my chest was caving in. And I felt like the only way I could handle it was to backlash against people or to anger out or to jump out quickly, because I was trying to work so fast to get where I really wanted to be, but I wasn't there yet because I had an inflated view of where I thought success would be. And I did it. It took me, I'd say, probably about a good year. And I'm in a different place today. I still go back occasionally for some maintenance, as it were. But the podcast is actually helping me because I'm able to, you know, kind of get my perspective back and use the tools I learned through that. So that's a big thing. You know, when you talk about that as a man, you're supposed to be the big, strong provider and the tough guy, and you're always this guy. And then you admit to somebody you went to counseling. Wow. You must be pretty weak.
I think that's changing.
I hope so, because mental health, you know, is a big deal. And I learned a lot from that. And people actually, my employees, my family, everybody said, you know, obviously there's a big change in the way I am and who I am and how I handle things and people even. So I don't hit the damn it doll as much as I want to or need to anymore.
This thing is really well made.
Well, I've beaten the hell out of that.
Yeah, thing. You have. And it looks as good as new. When I walked in, I'm like, what do you have a voodoo doll for, Chris? And he's like, no, it's my damn it doll.
Yeah. So good news is, everybody, my dad's watching. Hey, Dad, there's my damn it doll. So I hope you're watching it. Yep. It's actually hanging on there. It's built. I think it's built out of Kevlar. Yeah. So back to the mental health. And how do you know? You don't. You especially can't be self-aware when that's going down. I actually had to have a friend say, you know, have you ever thought about counseling? I've done it and it's helped me. And it's somebody I admire. And I
that's
think
another gold nugget is surround yourself with good people who will shoot straight with you and that you give them permission to shoot straight with you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was big for me on that one. That's for sure. That's tough, but that also helped me reset. And when I look back on it, that's when the biggest climb in my company really started to happen, was when I started to embrace and delegate and go back to the leader I wanted to be, the leader I think I can be, the leader I always wanted to be. And that's where we're at today, continuing to grow and build the business here in Atlanta.
How do you think you are on time management? We've talked about it a little bit here and there over the last 42 episodes, but I think that's crucial. Because you get jerked around. It goes back to that, you know, you manage your business or your business manages you. And even, you know, let's say you get two complaints in there and you need to actually go out there personally and they're on two opposite sides of town. You know, how do you feel you are at that?
I feel like my time management is good when I'm good and it's bad when I'm bad.
What do I mean
by that? Yeah. Right. When I wake up in the morning and I think through my day and what I want to do that day to accomplish what I want to accomplish that week, I'm good. But if I go to my phone and start reading emails and react to a customer who said at 8:06 on Sunday night, Mother's Day when I had just come home saying, you can't come to my house at 10 o'clock so we can discuss what I didn't like about what you did. And I saw that email first thing Monday morning and it threw me completely off my game. And what I did was I reset myself. I went back. I worked out. I came back. I called the guy. I let him have it and slammed the damn it doll a little bit. And then I went off and had a great productive Monday. So my time management is good when I reset myself and I try to figure out what to do. When you get really overwhelmed, that's when people really start to go down that death spiral again, yeah. Right? When you're overwhelmed, I don't have time for a 20-minute walk. Do what?
Right.
You can't walk for 20 minutes? I'll bet you watched a TV show last night. Well, yeah, that's my decompression time. Okay. I'll bet you wasted 20 minutes today doing something you shouldn't have been doing. You could have gone for that walk and listened to this great podcast called The Small Business Safari, brought to you by Alan and Chris.
Or you could read a good book.
Or you could read a great book. It's called From the Zoo to the Wild, Your Guide to Entrepreneurial Freedom and Wealth. But
where can you find that?
You can find it on Amazon. And I'm going to work on making an Audible book eventually when I have time. Oh, damn it. Time management.
Oh, no.
I don't have any time management skills. So when I'm good, I'm good. When I'm bad, I have learned to reset myself and get out of it because the urgent can pull you in. Now, that being said, if you ignore the urgent, it can become a really big problem and could really suck you in, especially in my business.
Yeah. So I always found a lot of success in trying to do blocks of time. So Thursday morning from whatever to whatever is when I'm going to work on marketing. And, you know, Friday between this time and that time will be when I respond to vendor solicitations, that kind of a thing. And even if you take a customer complaint in the middle of the day where you're trying to focus on something else, I think 99% of the time you can say, I'm really glad you called me and I want to take care of you. I will take care of you. Let me call you at this time so I can give you my full attention so that you can stay focused because we were joking about it earlier. Multitasking is doing a lot of things at the same time poorly. And that's what most entrepreneurs do all day long is multitask and they're not good at anything because they're just reacting to everything and just getting jerked around like a fish on a line.
So do you look forward to that Thursday morning marketing exercise and can get creative and do all that stuff? And do you find that discipline helps you solve those problems?
Yeah, because I love being organized. I'm not naturally organized. And so I have to really, really, really work hard at it. So as an example, looking at your emails, and now they pop up on your phone. And if you have an Apple Watch, it pops up, you get notified all the time. And so what you do is you're just constantly, your head's jerking to the side to look at whatever email comes up. So I know that our society today kind of expects a quicker response, but to discipline yourself to just check emails maybe 3 times a day or something like that and ignore them the rest of the time so that whatever you're doing has your full attention. And it's not, and you have to build in your schedule time for the curveballs, the variables, the heater customers. But if you have your week chunked where okay, every Thursday for 2 hours, I'm gonna work on my marketing. You don't have to think about it the rest of the week.
Yeah,
and you know it's gonna happen. And if for some reason something detonates and you have to move it, you have to move it. But it's pretty easy to get into a rhythm knowing I'm gonna take care of my bookkeeping, in this chunk or these two chunks. I'm gonna take care of my marketing in this chunk. I'm gonna take care of employee one-on-ones in this chunk, and then you still have all this other time that you can do other things. And again, you're a man about town, you're doing podcasts and all that. So yeah. Your scheduling, has to be somewhat flexible, but it's pretty easy to, if you have 6 things that are just kind of permanently blocked on your calendar a week to navigate around it.
No, I do that. I use Outlook as my calendar to block myself, to remind myself to do things. I think when I'm good, I'm good. When I'm bad, I'm really bad.
Yeah.
And that's the part where it really starts to spiral down. I remember meeting a guy who says, I'm back to working out, getting back in the gym and trying to do the things I need to do for myself too. But he was like, I have my day chunked out every 30 minutes from 5:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, wow. And when it was running through my head,
what?
get the hell out of here. You're full of shit, bro. Till 11 o'clock at night, you woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to the gym at 5:30 and you blocked yourself all the way out till 11. Yeah, I don't think so. I hear you. Yeah. Superhuman, yeah. But no. There's no way you said I'm going to eat from 5:35 to 6:05 with my children. And from 6:05 to 6:25, I'm going to clean up. Come on, man.
No, seeing that kind of scheduling makes me miserable. I don't like being overscheduled. I have a sister who I love to death. And if you ever spend time with her or go on vacation, she wants to orchestrate everything. We're going to have coffee here. We're going to have breakfast there. Then we're going to go look at this site here. And she has an itinerary. And it ruins the vacation for me. And I know she's doing it because she wants us to have the best experience possible. But in that consideration, she's actually being inconsiderate. And so I don't want to have my life so scheduled that I have no flexibility. I mean, that's not why you become an entrepreneur. But if I build enough structure into my schedule to where I know nothing's going to slip through the cracks on your average week, and I know I don't have to worry about certain things, because that's one of the things an entrepreneur does. It's that whole, the old circus performer who's spinning plates, and they've got all the plates going, and one starts to wobble, you focus on that one, and then the other one starts to wobble, and that's all you're doing is focusing on the wobbling plates. And so to know that I don't have to actually think about these things, and once you kind of get used to that on your schedule, it really is really liberating. And then you take it one step further. And again, we're not saving lives. Neither of us are saving lives. I'm not doing it real estate. You're not doing it home services. Somebody can go detonate all they want, but they're not going to bleed out.
Right.
Unless they have a hemorrhage. You know, maybe they might, because they're so mad. But you know what?
One can only hope.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't say that. I mean, I'm the customer service freak.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really try hard to discipline myself to where when I'm home, I'm home, because you have to take care of yourself, and you're doing this whole entrepreneur thing for yourself and to make a better life for your family. And unfortunately, what ends up happening is you're killing yourself and you're killing your family. You're killing your marriage. When you go home, you're home. And when you're off of work, you're off of work. And yeah, maybe you need to block some time here and there to do some things that you couldn't do at the office because you've got private time. But it's just not healthy to be on 24 hours a day.
It's not healthy to be on 24/7, but when you're rolling and you go down that death spiral, you feel like you can't get out of it. And that's where you got to reset yourself. And I don't know if it's slap yourself upside the head. I don't know if it's hit the old damn it down, but you got to get yourself set back. It's hard to pull yourself out of it. It's a death spiral for a reason. And I would tell you the one thing that helped me also was I went on a quarterly basis for goal setting. We call them rocks. I have a 1-year goal set for the company and a 3-year vision. And I have that up in front of my computer in the office all day, so I can make sure that sometimes when I get off track or off target, I look at that. Now, I'm not the best at times when I get home. My wife and my daughter call it selective listening. They think I have a hearing problem, actually. And I said, actually, it's selective listening.
You have a listening problem.
That's, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a hearing problem. I have a listening problem.
But see, even that blocking thing you can do on a quarterly basis. So, you know, I'm going to do my goals on this day and I'm going to review it on that day. And you just pre-plan out your calendar and have it on a recurring thing and you never have to think about it again.
As you grow your team and start to scale, and now I'm up to 30 employees and still a number of direct reports on my team. But what I found is that by clearly articulating what the 1-year goals are and what those quarterly rocks are to the team, and that's our position and that's what we do, then they start to do things that you wanted them to do without you even asking them to do it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I learned was that when we were that small tribe, that band of brothers out there just trying to make it happen, a team of six, that when Chris would come in and fly around and say, do this, this, and this, and then run right back out and start selling and then come back hopefully in a week or so back to the office, and they hadn't done anything. I'm like, what the hell's going on? But when you articulated your goals and you start to get more out of your people, that was also helpful for me.
And I imagine that at one point you suddenly became really aware of the fact that a new person comes on and it's the team that's actually telling them, here's how we do things here. You don't have to, because you've already built that culture.
Yeah, that just happened with Rose the intern today.
Oh, that's cool.
So Michael the intern and Ed said, basically, this is how you manage Chris. And Rose, we started our podcast out with, this is the things run by Chris. I'm like, whoa, I think somebody got to Rose.
That's right. That's got to put a big grin on your face.
It was awesome.
Man. Yeah.
It was totally awesome because that's going to get more out of me. She's in there, and I know that she felt awesome that she was able to come in here and say, I got things to run by you, and I'm not leaving until I do that.
It's so impressive. I mean, I'm really impressed with not only her energy, but the fact she's been here 2 days. She's jumping in and doing, I mean, it really makes me feel good about the future of our country because you see so many people who don't want to work and they want us to become socialists, and they, you know, and to have somebody with that kind of fire and energy and who's happy to, I mean, she literally is thrilled to be here. And
it's so cool. Yeah. Don't you feed off that enthusiasm, right? Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. And I think with that, I know we've run quite a while on what we like to call the launch of season 3, but Alan and Chris talking, I think we probably need to wrap this one up with the beginning and the end of the new intern Rose starting season 3. Go out and check us out. Make sure you review us on the Small Business Safari. Go out there, follow us, rate, review. Come on, send me some DMs on customerservice.freak. Maybe catch me up on email, chris@thetrustedtoolbox.com. Give us your questions and answers. I've heard some great ones, and we'll start picking off those topics, and we're going to bring in some incredible guests in season 3. Can't wait for it.
Can't wait.
Look forward to it. Until next time.
Cheers.
That's good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Small Business Safari. Remember to keep that positive attitude, which will reflect in a higher altitude as you're out there making it happen in the wild world of small business ownership. Until next time, go make it a great day, adventure team.